So we should not tolerate fear to overwhelm us or to be normal in our lives. We should not really tolerate depression. And we don't want to be discouraged. And so many Christians today seem to be depressed about almost anything you can imagine. And so I'm going to show you and tell you that you don't have to be depressed nor fearful. Praise God. Amen. So what is discouraged? To be discouraged, it means to have a loss of confidence. You know, to lose confidence in something. Or to lose enthusiasm. It means to be disheartened. You know, a sense of to be defeated. To be in despair, like there's no hope ahead of you. To be dismayed and dispirited. You know, all the spirit is taken out from you. Your enthusiasm is gone. Despondent or demoralized. God wants us to be full of life. And no matter what we face in life. So it's what we focus on. And I realize, you know, what you look at long enough, you'll take in. What you focus on, what you think about most about, what you meditate on, becomes a part of you. And you don't have to always let everything inside you just because it's going around you. The Bible says, the Lord says, you know, although you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to let it get in you. And so, you know, what you say is very important during these times. You know, your tongue, the Bible teaches us about our tongue. It's important what we say in life, what you say about certain situations. The tongue, your own tongue is the rudder of your life. And what you say is where you're going to end up. It's not whatever anybody else says, it's what you say about it. Your words can encourage you, can encourage your mind and heart. And no matter what's going on in your life, you need to continue to speak faith-filled words, not words of despair and loss. Because the words we choose will either bring life or death in our lives. The scripture tells us so. So Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, what you've been saying is what you've been eating, spiritually speaking. And James says your tongue is like a rudder. Let's look at over here in James chapter 3, verse 2, 6. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. Praise God. Amen. So if it's too loud, it's because of the Amplified. For we all stumble and sin in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, never saying the wrong thing, he is a perfect man, fully developed in character without serious flaws, able to bridle his whole body and rein his entire nature, and to control your nature, taming his human faults and weaknesses. Verse 3, now if we put bits in the horse's mouths to make them obey us, we guide their whole body as well. You know, like there's a little bit in the horse's tongue there and you kind of lead them around. It's a little bit. It's a huge, huge body. You know, horses are huge. Can you say big? Praise God, that's right, they're big. So it says here, look at the ships. Even though they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the impulse of the hillsman determines. Well, I don't use that word hillsman. I use the word sailor or what's a hillsman? I guess it's a captain or something, is it? Yes, it would be. Let's go to do research. Anyway, verse 5, in the same way, everybody say, in the same way. So he's using two things here, the bit in the horse's mouth and then a rudder of a ship. In the same sense, the tongue, how many of you have a tongue? You all have a tongue. Is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See, by comparison, how great a forest is set on fire by a small spark. Like a small spark and set a whole place on fire. Now, verse 6, the tongue is in a sense a fire in a very world of injustice and unrighteousness. A tongue is set among our members as that which contaminates the entire body and it sets on fire the course of our life, the cycle of a man's existence, as it is set on fire by hell. You know, we say things, what the H is going on? Well, your tongue has been doing something. You know, you say things in your life that is, setting your life in a way that's turning upside down, right? So your tongue, that's what James was talking about over here. Now, over in Deuteronomy, again, 30 and verse 8, 19 and 20, I'm just reading these scriptures to show you what the scriptures are telling us, what the Bible is saying. Your tongue, it's important what you say. In a time of discouragement, we don't need you to talk more discouragement, right? It says here, Deuteronomy 30, verse 30, 19 and 20, I'm reading King James, I call heaven and earth a record against you this day, against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. That both in thy seed may live. In other words, you know, even what you say affects your kids. Mm-hmm. Affects your whole family. Right? That you may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of your days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord your God swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give them. What did he swear to give the Israelites? What did he swear to Abraham and Moses? What did he say? He said, you're going to live in a land of plenty. And you'll be safe with me. You're not going to be devoured by the enemy. He promised them a good life. If you would follow him and speak his words and make a choice to speak life. Over in Joshua chapter 13, verse 25 and 33, I'm reading the New Living Translation. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. And Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israelite at Kadesh, in the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. Because previously Moses has told the people, go out and spy out the land, see what it's like. So this was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it's indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. And here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, and Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go up at once and take the land, he said. We certainly can conquer it. I like that guy. You? But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread a bad report. Everybody say, bad report. Bad report. Well, that's not good to spread a bad report. That bad report, you know, the King James say they spread an evil report. You know, when you talk bad, that's evil. That's what the Bible says. And so they spread a bad report among the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. And all the people we saw there are huge. Everybody say huge.
Huge.
Say huge.
Huge.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you got to emphasize it. I'm pretty sure they were saying that. We even saw the giants there. Again, they're talking about giants. Giants here, giants there. The descendants of Anak. Who are those guys? Your relatives, right? Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. You know, people always talk about how they feel about things. It doesn't matter what you feel about it. It's what God says about things. Right? And we felt like grasshoppers. How many grasshoppers we got this evening? Huh? And that's what we thought too. So you can have a grasshopper mentality if you want to, or you want to be a giant killer. I know David was a giant killer. He said, who do you think you are, defying the armies of God? My God, we're going to cut your head down today. That's what he told the giant. I mean, you need to talk to the giant that way, your situation like that, right? Look at who is this situation thing going on here? I'm the boss. So when the spies came back from Kadesh Barnea, they had a bad report. And they got everybody scared. Now, some people you don't want to hang around with because they scare you. Not because of the way they look, but what they talk about. And they discourage people. So I know some people, I go for coffee. I spend maybe a small coffee with them. Because I don't want to have a big coffee with them because I want to get out as quickly as I can. Because they have bad reports. And I feel depressed when I leave there. I have to shake myself a lot and pray in the Holy Ghost for a little while. That's what happened to me the other day. They heard about the 9 feet tall, large people, the thick walls that could not be penetrated. They went back. The Bible says later on, these people who heard these reports from these guys, they went back to their tents depressed and crying all night. Crying all night. Fear is the biggest hindrance for all of us. You know, if you're discouraged, why hear all this stuff and go and get more depressed? Find somebody who can put some life in you. So, you know, people really, the biggest fear in life is death. Death is loss, a loss of something. You know, a loss of a relationship, a loss of your money, the loss of your ability to do things. Fear of losing. This is the biggest fear in people's lives. It's affecting people, their mental health. You know what? Even after God promised these same people that they're going to go and eat in the promised land and enjoy good life, they wouldn't believe. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, they wouldn't believe. They doubted God. They refused to believe the word. You know what doubt means? You know, two kinds of doubt. One is really, they don't have enough word from God, or they don't have enough word in them or understanding of the Bible. Or they heard the word but refused to listen to it. But these people had the second thing. They heard the word. They said, I can't believe that. So when you're discouraged, you need to believe something. You need to believe the good report. Right? So over Numbers 14, 1 to 3, the New Living Translation says that the whole community began weeping and cried all night long. Man, I wouldn't live in that community. The crying community wept all night long. Their voices rose a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. Now notice this. If we only had died in Egypt, they said, or here in this wilderness, they complained. They were just complaining. And just being sarcastic. You know, when somebody is in doubt about things, they get this sarcastic. I would not believe that. Who do they think they are? You try to believe that. Who do you think you are? You're not a prophet. Who do you think you are? Apostle John? You know, these people, you can tell when someone's not believing something. They're very sarcastic about things. And then they said, verse 3, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in a battle? They don't even trust. Now they're against not only Moses and Aaron, but they're against God himself. And I know all of you right now say, oh, these guys are bad. But you do the same thing. I've done it. I've caught myself doing it. I said, Lord, like I said to my wife the other day, I mean, we had this trouble with these birds, pests. These woodpeckers kept eating up my house, putting holes, like big holes in my wood house. Bang, 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 bang. There's construction going on all summer long at my house. I come home, there's a big hole in my, you know, Ray up there. I try to get Ken to go up there. He wouldn't go up there. He said, well, don't you go, though. You go. I'm your senior pastor. You go up there. If they lose you, you wouldn't lose too much. But if they lose me. He said, well, I'd do it for $20. I said, I don't have change right now. But anyways, they're just backing up my house. And so we got it fixed. We spent a few $1,000, got part of it fixed up. And we said, oh, this is good. They're not coming back. They came back and made more holes. This morning, they were wrapping up again. I chased them bad, and I was there with my gun, my BB gun. I hope no neighbors are looking at me. They might think they'll call the police on me. Here's the pastor of Faith City Church trying to kill something. Amen. And so, I'm going back to this point about getting mad at God. I got mad at God. I came back home one day. I said, Lord, why? What's wrong with you? Why did you set those angels there? I started getting a little tough with God. I know some of you guys, you say, well, not me. I know you do the same thing. And blame God for stuff. You know? Well, it's getting quiet in here. I better get on here. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to die in the battle? Our wives are little ones and we carry it off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better if we returned to Egypt? You know, we say things, you know, hey, I never had this problem in my life until I got saved. Eh? How many of you said that? Now, come on now. How many of you said that? Eh? Nobody wants to admit it. Lord, forgive everybody. You know, I've done it. I guess I'm the only guy here. I'm sure. Sure, we've all said it at some point. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the old way of life. I never had this problem before. So, you know, it's important what you say, because what you say is what you get. Because that's exactly what these people did. What they said, what did they say? It would be better if we died here. And so, in Mark 11:23, Jesus said this. I didn't say it, you know. Our so-called denomination didn't say it, but Jesus is the one who said it. He said, verily I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, now you're talking to the mountain, what kind of person are you? Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Everybody say believe. Believe. Shall believe that those things which he said, what you say is what you believe. Did you realize what you say, what you talk about, most of the time, is what you believe about life? So these people in the wilderness here were talking about what they believed. They believed in what they saw rather than what God told them. And you need to check up on your words, especially if this is the time of the year when, sleigh bells ring, and you're not having a good time. How come no one buys me a gift? Okay, all right. He said, those things which he believed, those things which he said, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever his neighbor said. No, whatever you say. Like he said, what you say. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. You know who you are is what you say. You know, there's some mean people around. I know some mean hockey fans. Just absolutely rotten. They let everybody know. They put it online and let everybody know how rotten they are. Anyways, we won't talk about those guys. So Proverbs 18:20, the Amplified says, a man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You wonder why you're eating bad, spiritually speaking? It's because what you've been saying, the fruit of your mouth, not my mouth, your mouth. He will be satisfied with the consequences of his words. Proverbs 18:20, Amplified. So you have to watch what you say. Saying something enough begins to fill your life with something you believe. If you say something enough, you begin to believe it. That's why a lot of times, you know, in sports medicine, they tell people, you need to start talking to yourself. I can do this. I can do this. I can do it. I can lift that up. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
I'm good looking. Say, I'm sweet. See, you need to believe that. Believe that. Amen. So, let's go over here. We'll find out the fulfillment of this scripture. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. Are you enjoying this scripture? Is this? Are you learning something back there? You in the back, you're learning something, okay? All right, we'll talk after. All right. Okay, so now tell them this. Numbers 14, 28. Now tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things that I heard you say. You know, I was reminded yesterday, Hebrews chapter 3 says Jesus is our very high priest. And he's the one who ministers before God. You will all drop dead in the wilderness, verse 29 says. That's not a good thing to hear. Because you complain against me. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older that was included in the registration will die. You will not occupy the land I swore to give to you. The only exceptions will be Roma and Pastor Ken. So Miss Cindy, my wife, and Pastor Steve too. Where is he? He's included in this. We're gonna pull him in. And he actually, you know, just think about it. God promised something, and they're not getting it. There's people that God's promised them things, and they've been complaining and complaining. And he says, I'm discouraged. I'm always sad. I got this. Everybody, they got all kinds of terms now for every kind of fear. They got all these terms. And what is these letters they give? What are these? ADD, HPHD, whatever. They tell you, you have this. When I was a kid, they called me the monkey. I would climb big trees. My grandmother would keep me, and they couldn't find me. Where is he? There he is. Woo! And I'm flying high in the sky in Suckle Creek, Ontario. They look for me everywhere. Roma! I could hear them calling for me. Where is he? I can see his little underwear here. And apparently, I used to take off all my clothes. That's what they told me. You know? But they would look for me everywhere, and I'd be flying into the sky, and they, you know. Why did I tell that story? I don't know why somebody needed to be discouraged by that. We're going to edit this program. Okay. Anyways, I told too much detail. Sorry about that. I'm very sorry about that. Anyway, so he said, okay. Anyway, he said, they will not occupy the land. There's certain things about our lives. You know, I learned something when I came to the Lord Jesus. I was learning to speak right. To say the right thing. Even when I didn't believe it, I began to say what God says about me. Because I didn't feel very good about myself. Such a low self-esteem. Somebody says, you're so low, they have to pipe light to you. You're so low. You know, so people fear things, and so they say things that don't measure up as far as what God's saying. So over in Deuteronomy 31, 36, verse 6 again, he says, be strong and have good courage. Nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, it is he that goes with you and will not fail you or forsake you. Now, if you read this for a while, If you really meditated on it, you'll you know, realize that God will never leave you or let you down. And on the same way, he said, do not fear. And do not be discouraged. I remember not too many years ago, I decided, you know, I suffered from anxiety. I had this, what they call PTSD, I guess it's called. And I'd wake up in sweats. I'd be sweating away. And throughout the day, I'd have sweaty palms and pounding heart. I would be overwhelmed at times and didn't know what to do. I didn't know what it was. I thought I was going crazy. I didn't realize what it was. Growing up as a kid and being a young adult, young kid, and all of a sudden, university, I'm having a panic attack. I didn't know what was going on. But you know, God is a healer. And God showed me that you could be free from this. And he said to me, I died for your peace. But I didn't take it right away. I didn't believe it right away because it took me a while to really process this. It took a number of years for me to realize and to really let it go. And one day, the Lord led me to a place where I could make a confession of faith. In Psalm 23, the Bible says, I will fear nothing. I shall not fear evil. Nothing, no evil. So I made a promise. I said, God, I make a promise to you right now. I'll never be afraid anymore. Over my life with my wife, I had two major anxiety attacks. One when I was in the University of Manitoba doing my graduate studies. And the second was years later when I went to Rhema Bible College while I was doing my college pastoral training. I had a major setback. I woke up one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, said to my wife, call the ambulance. I'm dying. When you go through a panic attack, it's like you're dying. And it seems so real that you're losing everything. And I had such overwhelming fear. It was paralyzing. And so at a point in my life later on, I said, I'll never be afraid again. The Lord led me to a place to make a confession. I will never be afraid. And some people, you know, you got to come to a place in your life where you got to tell yourself, I'll never be discouraged again in my life. And I did the same thing. I'll never be down anymore. I'll never be so down. I don't get down. I don't feel ever be discouraged because I was discouraged a lot in my life as a kid and had, you know, what I thought had good reason to be discouraged. You know, growing up as a kid, as a disadvantaged kid, and never, you know, I could tell you stuff over, some of you heard it over and over. But I grew up that way. And I felt defeated before I ever started anything. And it's a miracle that I am where I am today because of the love of God. And I think about it in my past. I think about these things. So, God told him, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So we need to understand that we don't ever have to be afraid. God told Joshua over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. I'm going to read you this. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. This sounds a lot like what he told Moses. Verse 6, only be strong and have a good courage. You know, courage doesn't mean you'll never feel afraid. It means you might feel afraid. You might have an occasion to be frightened, but you said, I'm not letting this stop me. I'm not letting fear stop me ever again. I'm not letting fear. I'm not letting fear paralyze me anymore. Only be strong and very courageous, verse 7 says, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. He told the same thing. In the first chapter of the Psalms, don't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. Meditate on my word. That you may prosper wherever you go. So Joshua and that generation of people that they were leaving there, over 2 million people they said, going to the promised land. They had to make a commitment to follow God's instructions. They had to face their fears no matter what. They had to go ahead in spite of discouragement. They were going to be, they were going to have to be different than anybody else. And you know, if you're a Christian, you're different than anybody else. You're not of this world. You're a person of God. And you're going to have to act like a God's child. And act like God said, don't be afraid, that he's going to be there with you and for you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You're going to have to lean on those promises. You're going to have to think differently and talk right, talk like God, the way God, his language, the language of faith. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now I want to show you, and I want to close with this, in Psalm 42, verse 5. This is how you will never be discouraged again. This is how you do it. You waited all this time for this scripture. You said, why didn't you tell me before? I could have been home already. Beating the traffic, the big traffic jam here in, you know, where are we here? Kern River. Psalm 42, 5. The psalmist is saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I yet shall praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, to be cast down means to be dismayed or to be discouraged. The first thing God spoke, it's his word says here, is that this man spoke to himself. He said, why am I discouraged? So in times of discouragement, you need to be the best cheerleader you've ever found in your life. You need to talk to yourself and meditate on the word and say, this is what God says about me. This is what he says to do. That's what I do. I'm not discouraged. Thank God. It's good for me. For sure. I'm a winner. I don't lose. I'm winning. Well, you're, you know, who do you think you are? No, I'm saying what God says. Talking like God, I'm different. I'm not the same. I'm not like everybody else. I'm what God says I am. I am who God says I am. You know, I am that I am. Popeye. Why did he speak to himself like that? He said, why are you cast down to myself? You got to talk to yourself. He said, why are you cast down? I was watching this guy speaking. I used to use him for when I was teaching at the college. And my wife and I taught there about 20 years. I said 20 years, but it's a little bit less than 20 years because 20 years sounds a whole lot better. So you know, and I would bring this guest speaker in by, you know, video. And he talked to himself. So why am I discouraged? Who did they think they are? Listen, you got two kids at home. You got to feed your kids. He started talking to himself. I know they have their degrees. I don't have my degree, but you know what? I can do this. He started talking to himself. That's what meditation is. You're talking to yourself. And this is what this guy is doing. He's a good motivational speaker. He's talking to himself. Why are you discouraged? You know why he said that? Because he shouldn't be discouraged. God is telling them you shouldn't be discouraged. You have me. Amen. I'm your God. Amen. You know? And this is how, you know, this is a little radical, I realize it, but you got to do it. You got to do it. And if a guy who's been in back and forth in emergency with my problems and I don't have them anymore because I started to fight back, if you don't fight back, you're not going to win. The Bible says you got to fight the good fight of faith, and you got to fight back that faith, that fear. You got to fight back that discouragement. Say, I'm not going to be discouraged anymore. And I went to AA for a number of years, and my sponsor knew how to treat me. And I was the guy. I was just woezy. Look at me. I'm so depressed. Oh, you know, the government's been mean to me and my people. And I didn't have a mom and dad to help me out. I was telling my kids that, I didn't have a mom and dad to come. When I was living in the Salvation Army, I didn't have my mom and dad to call me and pick me up and give me $20. When I got out of jail, there was nobody there to help me. When I came out of the boys' school, who was picking me up at the boys' school in February? No one was there to pick me up. Had to find a ride home. And when I got home, there was nobody there. So I know what it's like to feel depressed. So I had to talk to myself and learn to speak to myself. Listen, Roma, you made it. God brought you out here. And you're going to make this. And you know, I started to write books. I heard one guy said, I wrote books. He says, his brother laughed at him. You're writing a book? He said, yeah, I'm writing a book. Who's going to read that book? He said, I will. You know? So I was telling my friend, I just wrote my sixth book yesterday. And we're going to publish it. Well, he said, why are you writing those books? Who's going to read them? Well, I'm going to leave some marks when I leave here. What you going to leave? And I want people to know I was here. They're going to read about me 100 years from now if this world stays the same. They'll say, there was a guy here in this. He made this church here, over here. Huh? His name is Roma Fisher, and he was here. And your little great-great-great-grandkids are going to hear about this. So anyway, listen, discouragement, he's telling himself, why you're discouraged? First of all, God's telling him and telling you this, why are you discouraged? You shouldn't be discouraged. That's the reason why. And he talks about it. Why are you disquieted? You know, you're just so despondent, you're so low. He said, hope thou in God, for I yet shall praise him. See, our hope is in God. Our expectation, he's coming to help us out. He's going to get us out of here, and we're going to be able to praise him. Let's go ahead and praise him. Let's praise God about what he's done. Let's be thankful for what he's took us through. Right? In verse 42, he said, why are you disquieted within me? You should not be, because God tells you to never be discouraged. He told the Israelites, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. He's telling you, is this clear enough for you? Well, we're not going to be depressed tonight. We're going to go to sleep tonight. So what should we do when we get depressed? Well, we're gonna read the word. We're gonna talk to ourselves. We're gonna straighten ourselves out according to the scripture and tell us that we shouldn't, because God says not to. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and I've done my best. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus that we have endeavored to encourage everyone online. Tell them the Word of God is working in them right now. Everyone here, they will not be discouraged. They will not be fearful. And they're not going to be afraid to say who they are and what God's going to do for them, because the Word of God already declares it. And so you said to take the promised land to them, and you told them not to be afraid, and yet they got afraid and they said bad things, and they shouldn't be saying the bad things when God already told them not to. And so we're not going to follow that example. We're going to follow your example, and we're going to follow the example of David and those guys who said, yeah, I'm going to take this land. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'll give you praise. Thank you. You know, just this morning I was driving my daughter to the airport, and I said, you know, hey, you know, she said, you know, Dad, I'm my own boss now. And I made my own, and I told you I didn't want to go to university. I told you I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. She said, I wanted to do this. She said to me when she was 14, she says, Dad, I wanna sing. And I wanna live that way. That's how I'm gonna make my living. So I'm driving her down. I said, yeah, you know, you told me that when you're preteen, you said you're going to do this, what you're doing now. And I wanted to do that. I said it. I said what I believed. And I make money for what I'm doing because I love what I'm doing. And if somebody said, find something you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life. And you know, we need to say things. You know, right now, you might not have what you want in your heart, but it's there within you. You need to say, I'm going to have this. I'm going to walk through this. Lord, I want to thank you for every single person here who would say, I'm going to walk through that discouragement. I'm not going to let fear stop me. I'm not going to let what everybody says, and what society says, and what the devil's trying to do, I'm going to follow what God says. And I'm going to make it through. And if you're here tonight, you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, now is a good time to say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. If you want this kind of message in full, you say, Jesus, come in my life. I repent of my ways. I cannot do this on my own. I'm coming to you now. As a 24-year-old man, a young man in college, I said this prayer. I said, Jesus, watching Billy Graham, I said, Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I cannot save myself. I want peace. And he came into my life. And I've never been the same since. It's not always been good. I would say, you know, I wish it was like all good things happened to me during all my Christian life, but I had ups and downs, had the lowest times in my life. I went without and just had a horrible time sometimes, but I always came up on top because I came back to the Word, and there was always somebody there to help me. And each time I went away, it's because I got out of the Word. I got out of church. I got out of a place where I was on my own. The devil took advantage of me. But you don't have to be. None of you have to be. You have a church. You have me to help you. I'm your pastor. I'm telling you what I went through. And I wish I had a good pastor as a kid. I wish I could get up to somebody and I'd hook on to them. Somebody said, if I'm going to go to heaven, if I have to drive in the altar bench. Lord, I want to thank you for every single person right here in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every single devil. I take authority over every single devil that's in their way. I command you to loose the people. They will conquer. They will have victory. They will win. And they'll win back whatever God has put in their hearts. And they'll not stop until they come to a place where they say, God, you did it. And we give you the praise. Would you praise God with me? Lift up your hand and thank God for the promises of God in your life. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. You're so sweet. You're so loving, kind, Father God. I love you. I want to tell the world I love you. And I appreciate everything you've done for me and everything you will do for me. We call in the blessings of God in our lives. We will not be afraid. We will not be discouraged. We'll be encouraged. Because we're going to be an encourager everywhere we go. This Christmas season, we're going to be an encouragement wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.